Hello everybody, I'm Akash Mika and this is the Paragon of Justice. Last episode, I read out a story that I had written called Singing in Moonlight. And this episode, I'll be reading out three stories. The first is Departure, which is written by a friend of mine. And the second is Trying, written by myself. And the third is The Lady or the Tiger by Frank Stockton. I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please share it with your friends. Let's get to the stories themselves. Departure by N.P. Akhil. On that full moon night, a gentle yet firm breeze was all one could hear. Even a whisper would have been heard clearer than the torrent of a thousand rivers. And that night, I awoke, breathing heavily. A voice from the corner of my room, hoarse and strong, startled me. "You better be quick. We don't have much time," it spoke. Inexplicably, all thought and human sense seemed to have vacated my mind, and I found it natural to have voices in my room speak to me. "What are you talking about?" I asked, as though asking for a cup of tea. "You've lived a great life. You've made many friends and been loved by many. Your enemy count is rather impressive too. Your whole life has been like a roller coaster ride." She seemed to giggle. "She?" The voice felt familiar, but I was unable to recognize it. "What do you mean, I lived?" "I meant," the voice sighed, "you have to start afresh. But first, you need to break." Her voice was gentle. Yes, it was definitely a woman's voice. But who? I tried to see her, but it was futile. All I could see was her smile. Those teeth were shining like stars in the Milky Way. I could see the outline of her face if I focused. It all seemed familiar, especially that smile. But I wasn't able to recognize her. "Do not wonder who I am. You already know," she said, as though she read my thoughts. "Why?" was my immediate response. "Who are you? And how did you get into my room?" when I locked the door. I turned to point at the locked door and saw a face lying on my bed where I was. I sprang out of bed, covered my mouth with my hand to avoid screaming and waking everybody in the colony. It was just like me. No, it was me. "What is this?" I whispered. "It's time. You have lived, suffered, and celebrated your life. And it's time your body takes rest." The gentle voice was back, standing behind me. It held my shoulder as I turned to face it. Light shone on my face, blinding me where I stood. I saw wings spread across the room, and I finally saw her face with a smile. "I hope you found answers to all of your questions," she whispered. I was staring at her, plain and blank, as she spoke. She continued, "That mind thinks a lot, and it needs to work for some other soul now." The shock of it all rendering me weak as I gazed at myself in bed. My mouth open lightly, my chest still and unbreathing, my eyes closed, and I could tell that it was a different type of closed. I knew if I opened them, I would not see life, I would only see the void. And then it dawned on me that I was gone, that I was dead, dead because all I was always meant to be. But also more than just being dead, I was free. I looked up and said, "I'm ready." That was Departure by N.P. Akhil. The second story is Trying. I've written the story myself and I really hope everybody here likes it. I like coffee more than tea. Do I really need to explain myself here? Coffee makes me feel alive. I feel like the world becomes more colorful, louder, and for some reason, the best word to describe it is vibrant. But it had been 3 hours since my last cup, and I was trying to write a short story. Short story because I needed a break from the book I was working on. And I sat there on my desk, wondering what I could write about. I had 3 half-written stories on my laptop, and none of them inspired me anymore. One was a story about 3 kids running away from a burning building and discovering themselves in that process. The other was about a blind museum guide who was secretly a serial killer. And the third The third wasn't exactly half written, or even a third written. I hadn't started it yet, but I was planning on one. I decided to kill some time and clear my head by taking a walk. As I stepped out of my house, I noticed a lack of sunlight on the street, and a smile hit my face. Sunlight is the worst, and so is rain. Yeah, I dislike a lot of things. As I walked down the street, between the green trees and the road that seemed so full of cars and every other loud noise imaginable, I found silence within myself. Until my phone rang. Hesitant, I pulled it out of my pocket. Robin, it read, and I accepted the call. Hey, Robin's voice sounded faint. You wanna come over? We got this amazing weed. It was smoked up out of our minds. You should get here. Now? Robin cut the call before I could get another word in. Stood on the sidewalk for about a minute before I decided to join them. I'd known Robin for years now, and he usually called me only when he felt like I would need a break, and he was right today too. Robin's place was one of those flats that only have a living room that doubles as a bedroom. That was fine for a guy who spent most of his spare time either watching tennis, getting high, or both. As I stepped through his door, the smell of weed hit me like a truck. I didn't even take a seat or greet anyone as I reached for a joint on the table. Lighting it, I took a strong puff, letting the smoke stay in my mouth for a while before I let it out. Hey, Erica mumbled from the far corner she sat in. I'm so happy you came here. Nice to be here, I smiled as I handed the joint to Adam, settled on a beanbag, letting myself sink into it. Also, when did Adam get back to town? Thought he was off on vacation. Adam snickered, handing me the joint back. Never got to leave in the first place, mate. Trip got cancelled. He coughed. COVID stuff, he explained, as I raised an eyebrow. Fuck, man, that's brutal. Shook my head. It's getting worse, isn't it? Erica sniffed from the corner. It is as bad as it has always been. It was always this bad. I grimaced. Erica had a point. This was just depressing. Took a longer puff and stood up. Couldn't stay here longer than this. Right, enough for now. Wait, Robin frowned. You literally just got here. Don't tell me you came all this way for two puffs. Yeah, Axel, stay a while. Adam spread his arms. Just in the oil smoke the billows from this piece of genius, mate. Shook the joint. Nah, fellas, I got a story to write. Start working on that third idea. I would have to. Stepped out of Robin's place and walked down to the road. I felt the cold breeze on the back of my neck, sending chills down my spine. Sighed, turning to the road. The traffic seemed to ignore me. It ignored everybody. It seems to speed away without a care in the world. I felt a billion possibilities coursing through my mind as I decided to run. I ran straight into traffic, spinning away from a bus and barely hopping past a car that honked aggressively and braked right after I leapt past it. I tripped as I hit the divider and rolled into the other side, scrambled backward to avoid getting run over by a truck. It felt scary, but amazing. A billion liters of adrenaline coursing through my body. I knew I was capable of what I did. I just needed those two puffs to remind myself of that. I leapt upward, racing through the traffic, onto the other side of the road, skidded to a halt in front of a coffee place. Coffee. My mind seemed to explode. I walk in, the door swinging inwards. The scent of coffee seemed to sweep everything out of my mind. Set myself up at a table by the window, panting, still breathless from my foolish traffic incident. Foolish, now that I look back on it. The cafe was one of those cute places with tables set by the windows. What are you here for? The waiter stepped up to my table. Glass of water? He raised an eyebrow. I'm fine, I muttered. Just bring me the sweetest, strongest coffee you can make. As the waiter left me at the table to go get my order, I started to create the story in my head. There's a guy who wants to... I got distracted by the craziest thing I'd seen that day. Through the glass front of the store, I could see a car drive straight at the store and skid across the sidewalk before it crashed into the glass. Sent me flying to the ground, shards of glass shooting away in all directions, shattering into smaller pieces as I smacked my head against the floor, almost losing consciousness for a second before I rolled onto my feet. I checked myself for bruises, but other than one or two small cuts, I was doing okay. I turned behind me and the waiter was shivering behind the counter, along with other store employees. I was the only customer in at the time, other than the couple on the other end of the store, who looked pretty unharmed. Take a look at the car that stopped within an inch of the counter. The driver was knocked out. I couldn't see any blood, but I didn't want to leave it to chance. I wanted to be sure it was okay, and I tried to pull open the door. It didn't budge, forcing me to smash the window as the other customers dialed the ambulance. As I bent over to check for his pulse, I felt a stab of pain down the side of my torso. Glanced down and noticed that my abdomen was drenched in blood. Feeling a sense of panic, I pulled my shirt upward, and as I looked down at myself, I heard the waiter gasp. Sticking out of my body on the left was a glass shard with the size of a ballpoint pen. Felt a billion thoughts die in my mind at once as I pictured dying here. Felt my eyes close and my body struggling to make it work. Felt like a part of my life itself was slipping out with the blood. I felt the glass shard in my body 10 times worse than it should have been, and as I thought about all this, I saw my eyelids droop and I felt myself fall to my knees and then my face unconscious. I tried to fight it, I really did. A billion thoughts, a billion stars, a billion moments in time passed through my mind in those few seconds I lay on the floor. In those precious seconds, I witnessed the birth of the universe, the stars themselves being made, and the earth being hammered into the shape by the immortal hammers of the cosmos. I woke up as I witnessed the end of everything the world ever stood for and would stand for, and I breathed in and breathed out. I'd seen it, I'd felt it all, and I was rushed to the hospital. 2 days later, I began writing my new idea, my fingers shivering with every word I typed. I like coffee more than tea. Do I really need to explain myself here? Coffee makes me feel alive. I feel like the world becomes more colorful, louder, for some reason, vibrant. But it had been 3 hours since my last cup. I was trying to write a short story. Short story because I needed a break from the book I was working on. And I sat there on my desk wondering what I could write about. Had 3 half-written stories on my laptop and none of them inspired me anymore. One was a story about 3 kids running away from a burning building and discovering themselves in that process. The other was about a blind museum guide who is secretly a serial killer. And the third wasn't exactly half-written, or even third-written. I hadn't started it yet, but I was planning on it. Decided to kill some time, clear my head by taking a walk. That was Trying by Akash Mehta. This is the third story, The Lady or the Tiger by Frank Stockton. Many years ago, there lived a strange and savage king. He had a wild imagination and a very strong will. He loved to have everything his way. Each day, he and himself talked together. Whatever they agreed upon was quickly done, for he was the king and all powerful. Some people said the king's ideas were strange, but they said this softly, very softly, when no one was around. The king liked the idea of the public arena. In other countries, it was a place where men and beasts showed their courage by fighting each other. But this king used the arena in a different way, to reward the innocent and punish the guilty. Here is how it worked. A man was accused of a crime. If the crime was important enough to interest the king, he posted a notice. All the citizens of the land were invited to attend the trial in the king's arena. When the day arrived, a large crowd would gather. First, people took their seats, and then the king would appear, followed by his court. He sat high on his throne on one side of the arena. When the king gave a signal, the accused man would step out into the arena. Opposite the king were 2 doors. They were side by side and exactly alike. The prisoner would walk straight to these doors and open one of them. He could open either door he pleased. No one helped him decide. No one forced him to choose. Behind one door was a hungry tiger. If he opened that door, the tiger leaped out, tore the man to pieces. That was the punishment for his guilt. Then iron bells clanged and cries of sorrow were heard. The people bowed their heads and went slowly home. They were sad that anyone should have met such a terrible fate. But if the prisoner opened the other door, a lady stepped out. She was as perfect a match for him as could be found. The king would clap his hands. At this, a priest would appear and marry them at once. Then bells rang out and music played. The crowd shouted and cheered and threw flowers in the path of the innocent man as he led his bride to his home. It did not matter if the man had already a wife and family. it did not matter if he wanted to marry some other, for as the king liked to explain, that is of no importance. Nothing can interfere with my plan for rewarding the innocent, punishing the guilty. The king believed his method was just. Its fairness was clear. The accused man could open either door he pleased. The choice was his own. The lady or the tiger would simply carry out the fate he had chosen. The plan was popular with the people too. They could never guess what they were going to see. Would it be a cruel killing or a wild wedding? No one knew. It happened that this savage king had a beautiful daughter. She was as high-spirited and as imaginative as her father. The king loved her above all others, but the princess did not always obey her father's wishes, especially in matters of the heart. She fell in love with a man, but her father did not approve of him. The man was a slave of the king. He was both handsome and brave, and though he was just a slave, the princess loved him dearly. The love affair went on happily for many months, but when the king found out about it, the young man was thrown into jail. A date was set for his trial in the king's arena. Of course, this was an important case. The king and his people were greatly interested in it. Never before had a slave dared to love the daughter of a king. Men were sent to find the fiercest tiger in the country. Judges searched for the loveliest maiden in the land. If the youth were not torn to pieces, it was right that he have a fitting bride. Of course, everyone knew the slave was guilty. He admitted he loved the princess, but the king did not let this fact stand in his way. He enjoyed the justice of his arena too much. Besides, the slave would be murdered or married. In either case, he'd be out of the way. At last, the great day came. Never before had there been such a crowd. The people shoved and pushed. Some could not even get into the arena. They stood waiting for the news at the outside walls. Finally, the king and his court took their places. A signal was given. A door opened and the slave entered the arena. What a sight he made. Handsome and tall. No wonder the princess loved him. What a terrible thing for him to be there. The youth walked across the field and then he stopped. He turned and bowed to the king. He was not thinking of the king, however. His eyes were fixed on the princess who sat beside her father. For weeks, the princess had thought of nothing else but this day. Finally, she had done what no one else before her had ever done. She had learned the secrets of the doors. Gold and her power as the king's daughter had brought her secret. But she knew more than which door hid the lady. She also knew the lady's face. She was one of the most beautiful women in the king's court, and the princess hated her. The princess had often seen the lady looking at her lover. She thought that he had even glanced back once. She had seen them talking together. It might have been nothing, but who could tell? The lady was lovely, but she had dared to look at the princess's lover. And now she stood waiting for him behind that silent door. The prisoner's eyes were still fixed on the princess. He searched her pale face slowly. Then he saw that she knew behind which door crouched the tiger, behind which stood the lady. He stared at her and his eyes burned with the question, which? The princess knew he was asking. It was as plain to her as if he had shouted it aloud. There was not a second to lose. The question must be answered in an instant. The princess raised her hand and made a motion to the right. No one but her lover saw her. Every eye was on the man in the arena. He turned. With a quick step, he walked across the arena. Every heart stopped beating. Every breath was held. Then with a firm hand, he gripped the door on the right and pulled it open. Now the point of the story is this. Did the tiger come out of that door? Or did the lady? The more we think about this question, the harder it is to answer. It means we must study the human heart. Think about it. She was a wild and savage princess. Her soul was burning with jealousy and hatred. She had lost her lover. Should another woman have him? How often had she imagined seeing the tiger leap out with its terrible fangs? She had seen its claws rippling wildly. And then she would cover her face with her hands and tremble. But then she also imagined him at the other door. She saw his look of delight as he smiled at the lady. She saw him rush to the woman she hated. She heard the glad shouts and the bells ringing wildly. She saw the priest marry the couple while she helplessly sat there. Then she bit her lips and she tore her hair. Would it not be better for him to die at once? And yet, that awful tiger, those screams, that blood. She had given her answer in an instant, but she had thought about it for many days. She had known she would be asked. She had decided what she would answer. Without a moment's delay, she had moved her hand to the right. The question I leave to you all is this: which came out of the open door, the lady or the tiger? That is The Lady or the Tiger by Frank Stockton. Well, thank you everybody. Those were the three stories for this episode. And if you have any suggestions or recommendations, please feel free to let me know. You can find my Instagram and my email ID in the description of the episode. And well, have a nice day. Thank you so much.